Now is the time, episode 22. I'm Caleb Succo, and this is the podcast where we talk about how we can use our lives right now to worship our God. John MacArthur go too far in his new book, Strange Fire? That's what we're going to be talking about today on the Now is the Time podcast. So welcome, friends. You know, if you're not familiar with John MacArthur's new book, Strange Fire, it has produced some controversy, especially with our charismatic and Pentecostal friends. And the subject is really the Holy Spirit. And John MacArthur makes some pretty, I guess you could say, bold claims and accusations in it. So I'm going to be talking about that in this episode. But as always, before we do that, let me just give you a quick little update, a rundown of what's been going on. And first of all, Ukraine. I don't know if you've been watching the news, but these protests are not going away. It's been over 2 months. They started late November. Now we're already at the end of January, last day of January today. And I think I heard reports that 11 cities have had government offices taken over by protesters. There are conflicting reports as to how many people have died. Some say four, some say six, but people have died in these protests. And, you know, Ukraine just needs your prayers right now. People are looking for a change, and pray for peace, but pray also that churches would use this time to share Jesus, because he's the greatest hope. And he is really what they're searching for, I think. So do pray for Ukraine. Pray also for our family. We continue to have a busy schedule. Last Sunday, we were at Christ the Rock Church, had an amazing time with the people there. I spoke to in their two Sunday morning services. Then we had a great lunch with a bunch of people from their church. And this Sunday, and actually all this week, we've been at Puyallup Community Baptist Church. And part of their missions conference that they have going on. So I'll be speaking there this Sunday. And, you know, the next week we go out to Idaho for a few weeks. So if you are in the Boise, Idaho area, you know, we'll be there for, let's see, over 2 weeks. So from about the 8th of February until the, about 17 days, I think we'll be there. Okay, so anyway, let us know if you are in the area. We'd love to see you. Okay, let's get to the subject matter for this podcast. We're talking about Strange Fire, John MacArthur's new book, in which he talks about the Holy Spirit and says that basically, you know, a lot of charismatics and Pentecostals do not have this right. And really, you know, I think the question is, did John MacArthur go too far? Is he majoring on issues that he should be minoring on? Has he just kind of written off a bunch of Christians who are actually, strong believers and should be really united with us? And, you know, I picked up this book because I like John MacArthur. I've read a lot of his books. I grew up listening to, my dad used to listen to his cassettes, and I used to listen to him on the radio. So, you know, I like John MacArthur. I've been blessed by much of his teaching. But, yeah, there's a couple of spots in this book where I think maybe John MacArthur, in his zeal to safeguard truth and to show clearly his position, he might have gone just a little too far. But let me tell you, first of all, though, what was positive about this book. Because honestly, I was edified by reading this book. It helped me think through a lot of things, especially concerning some of the miraculous gifts. And I want to share those with you first. Of course, the book focuses on the Holy Spirit and his role in the life of the believer and in the church, and also in his role in revival. And many of the Pentecostals and Charismatics, they, you know, we have the first, second, third wave of these movements, and they call them revivals. And basically, John MacArthur is saying that, you know, some of these are really not revivals. It's not the Holy Spirit that is doing all these strange exhibitions of weird things like falling on the ground and acting like you're drunk and speaking in tongues that don't make sense. He's saying it's not the Holy Spirit. And so one of the best parts of this book, well, just to give you a rundown of kind of, you know, how he sets up this book. First of all, he has three parts, and the first part is confronting a counterfeit revival, and he talks a lot about testing the spirits. So when you see something that is attributed to the Holy Spirit, that doesn't mean it is from the Holy Spirit, okay? And he actually goes back to Jonathan Edwards in The Great Awakening, where Jonathan Edwards, I didn't know this, was bothered by some of the stuff that he saw in The Great Awakening. And so what he did is he brought people back to God's Word, which is always a good thing to do, and to 1 John 4:2-8. And from that text, he produced 5 questions to test the spirits, to see, is this something from God? Is this something from the Holy Spirit or not? And that is very, you know, that in and of itself, I think, is worth reading this book, because I think that these 5 questions, you know, 95% of the time will clear up any questions that we have of whether or not this is from God, whether or not this is the work of the Holy Spirit. So what are the questions? Number 1, does the work exalt the true Christ? And this is, you know, theology. Does it have a good theology of Christ? But also, as MacArthur points out, much of the charismatic movement emphasizes the Holy Spirit far over Christ. Whereas, if you look in Scripture, the Holy Spirit's job was really to point people towards Christ. So does the work exalt the true Christ? That is the first question to help understand whether or not this is a work of the Holy Spirit. Number 2, does it oppose worldliness? And of course, John MacArthur goes into, you know, documenting cases where leaders in the Pentecostal and charismatic movement have fallen morally, which of course there are. There are many that have. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. And then question 3, does it point people to Scripture? Does it encourage Bible reading? Does it encourage study of Scripture and basing your life on those principles? Because unfortunately, much of the charismatic movement encourages new revelation over old revelation, which would be the Scriptures. It encourages people to seek a fresh word from God. And so people become less and less interested in reading the Scriptures because they are looking for new revelation. 4, does it elevate truth? And 5, does it produce love for God and others? And I think those are great questions that really we ought to be evaluating our life and ministry by as well. And so those were really a blessing. And that's in the first section of the book where he talks about testing the spirits. And then in section 2, he talks about it's called Exposing the Counterfeit Gifts. So he talks about apostles as many charismatic Pentecostal leaders would call themselves, consider themselves apostles today. He talks about fallible prophets. He talks about the tongues in the way that charismatics do it today and how it is nothing like New Testament, where today it is something completely unintelligible, but in the New Testament it was spoken and understood languages. And then he talks about fake healings. And, you know, I think a lot of what he does is he exposes some of the big names. And one of the biggest names that he spends more time on than anyone else is Benny Hinn. And I think he's absolutely right, because Benny Hinn and those who are like him and tend to be in his company, you know, they're frauds. And when it comes to the healings, they're frauds. When it comes to their prophecies, they have been proven to be frauds. And in every way you look at it, these guys are just frauds, and they need to be exposed, because we don't want people following after them. They are not speaking the truth. So that is the section, the second section, exposing counterfeit gifts. And then the third section, MacArthur focuses on basically a doctrine, a pneumatology of the Holy Spirit. And so he talks about Holy Spirit and salvation, in sanctification, what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to walk with the Holy, walk in the Spirit, and also with the Scriptures. And then the last chapter is probably one that is most interesting to me, and I think to a lot of people, and that is he basically writes a letter, what he calls it, a letter to my continuationist friends. You know, I think that a lot of people have looked at the book and said, well, you know, John MacArthur's kind of throwing the baby out with the bathwater. But he actually says there that, let me see if I can find that, actually. You know, as he writes this letter to his continuationist friends, he actually says that, listen, he does view these people as true believers and brothers and sisters in Christ. Although he doesn't agree with them that the miraculous gifts, as we see in the book of Acts, are continued to this day. And so he says, on page 231, I want to emphasize from the outset that I regard as brothers in Christ and friends in the ministry all who are faithful fellow workmen in the Word and the Gospel, even if they give a place of legitimacy to the charismatic experience. I have good friends among them who label themselves as Reformed Charismatics or Evangelical Continuationists. He says, certainly I do not view my continuationist friends in the same light as, and he's referring to, you know, people from TBN like Benny Hinn and others. So he says, I do not view my continuationist friends in the same light as those spiritual mountebanks and blatant frauds. And so he actually speaks positively to those people who would give room for the miraculous spiritual gifts, and not say that that was only for, you know, the beginning of the church there and the apostles in the first, say, 100 years or so of the church. He actually gives room for that, but he also has a very pretty strong warning of why he thinks it's dangerous to hold a continuationist, sorry, my tongue is getting tied, continuationist position. So those are the positive sides, okay? Let me share with you, though, because, unfortunately, I think that maybe in John MacArthur's zeal to really safeguard the truth, he has taken things a little bit too far, okay? And a lot of his arguments, especially when he talks to his continuationist friends in the end, come down to two types of arguments, and these are kind of my labeling for them. One is the slippery slope argument, and the other is death by association. So slippery slope says, because you do not prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that the miraculous gifts have not ceased. You open the door to some of the charismatic chaos like we see on TBN with, you know, some of these big name televangelists who are just looking for your money but not really healing you, who are obvious frauds. So it's kind of the slippery slope argument. If you say that that's a possibility, then you open the door to that type of a thing. Well, I mean, at the very least, that's just a weak kind of argument. Because the fact is that we might agree with some of these fraudulent people on something, but that doesn't mean that we're going to practice the same thing that they do. Because there are very clear scriptural, I mean, if you are actually teaching scripture, it's very easy, even if you don't teach that the gifts, the miraculous gifts, were only for the New Testament, it's very easy to point these other things out as false. I mean, when someone makes a false prophecy, you don't have to say, prophecy ended with the apostles. You don't have to say that. All you have to do is apply a biblical standard and say, well, that was a false prophecy, so you're not a prophet, because true prophets of God are accurate 100% of the time. Or when someone tries to speak in tongues and it's just all babble and jumble and nothing makes sense, you don't have to tell them, well, listen, tongues was only for a New Testament time, because it's not matching what we see in the New Testament, where they miraculously spoke another language so that they could communicate the gospel to someone who didn't understand their native tongue, and as a sign to show that this was really God at work. So, you know, just applying some of those biblical standards, I think you don't have to say that this is a slippery slope. And even if it is a slippery slope, it doesn't mean that it's logically necessarily wrong to hold that position. So it's kind of a weak argument. And then the other is death, what I call death by association. So in other words, in the section about testing the spirits, he rightly points out that if it's of the work is of the Holy Spirit, then that you will see spiritual growth. You will see a lifestyle that matches what is taught. And yet, when you look at people like Ted Haggard and other big shot TV evangelists in the Pentecostal camp, many of them have fallen, and many of them have excused their fall, their sin as well. And so you don't see a lifestyle that matches what the gospel teaches. And that's true. But you can't say that because Ted Haggard was living a life of sin, then automatically anyone else who holds the same position as he does on the spiritual gifts, that their ministry is also a fraud. You just can't say that, because there are many charismatic and Pentecostals out there who are morally, they are a great testimony, an example to others. And so, yes, we can look specifically at one or two examples and say, obviously, this man's life shows that his ministry is a fraud. But we just can't transfer that to everyone else who believes the same theology and say, well, if this man's life is ministry is a fraud, then anyone else who believes in a similar way, their ministry is also a fraud. So I think that is also kind of a dangerous argument to make. And then finally, if, you know, I think that John MacArthur is seeking to be very clear, and he wants to see a very fine line of demarcation with the spiritual gifts. And so he says some things that, you know, I just think are a little bit too strong. So, for instance, when he talks about healing, and you have to understand this, that I do believe that in the New Testament was a special time where you saw miraculous gifts of healing happening far, far more often than today. I mean, miraculous healing is miraculous, and it happens only on occasion. I mean, that's part of the definition of a miracle. If miracles happened all the time, then they would just be normal. And even in the New Testament, they didn't really happen all that often. But miracles happen not only in the New Testament, but also in the Old Testament, before you even had the gift of healing. And then, of course, you have a concentration of miracles of healing in the New Testament. But here's what MacArthur says. He says, such biblical quality healing miracles are not being performed today. Healing miracles of the kind recorded in the Gospels and Acts were unique to the first century church. After the time of the apostles, healing such as those ceased and have never since been part of church history. While the Lord still answers prayer and works in providential ways to heal people according to his will, there is no evidence that miraculous healings are occurring today as they did during the apostolic age. Now, I don't know. I just think that goes a little too far. For MacArthur to say that miraculous healings don't happen today, It's almost, you could say, an arrogant statement, because how does he know? I mean, really, how does he know? I think that he could say that, for instance, miraculous healings don't happen to Benny Hinn crusades. They just don't. There's never been any proof. But, you know, I believe that God could miraculously heal someone. And he probably does. I have not seen it personally with my eyes. Our son was sick with cancer when he was 1.5 years old. But he was in a hospital. We prayed. God providentially healed him through the hands of the doctors. But he had a part in it. And MacArthur is open to that kind of healing. But it looks like he's not open to just a miraculous healing. And I think that goes a little too far, because, you know, you just don't have any scriptural evidence to say that, okay, after the first century, God will not miraculously heal anyone. I think that the possibility is still there. And when I pray for those who are sick, I pray with the possibility that there might be a miraculous healing of those people as well. So, friends, you know, I think to sum it up, you should read the book. There is some very helpful information. I think it helps to understand what the Holy Spirit's role is, especially. It helps us to safeguard against having the Holy Spirit be kind of like a spiritual genie for us that just does whatever we want and makes us feel good. And it helps us to see the Holy Spirit in his true role, which is bringing us into the likeness of Christ through God's word. And that, my friends, is something that we all need. The fact that MacArthur goes a little bit too far on some of these things like healing, or, you know, the slippery slope argument, or death by association, you know, with any book, there's going to be things that you don't quite agree with. So I would encourage you to read it. And by the way, I am giving away a free copy of it. So all you need to do is just leave a comment in the show notes, which is sukofamily.org/22. And then share it with your friends on your favorite social network, whatever that happens to be. And leave the comment there. I will let you know who won the book. I'll just do some sort of a random drawing on February 15th, okay? All right, friends, until then, blessings.